Hey guys, guess who? It's Jen.
And it's Scary.
And we also have, what is it, Miss Polly? Is Polly joining us for the podcast?
Polly, yes, but she just split because, honestly, she saw a squirrel. And uh-oh. So now she's in the west side of the lawn.
Yeah, I love you. I really love you, squirrel.
Yeah. She is protecting the property from enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm right now picturing squirrels wearing the flak vests and helmets carrying Uzis. Mm.
Yeah. She's young and she's pretty powerful, so these better be special operations squirrels.
Absolutely.
And she's digging again.
Oh
man, she kind of likes to dig. Anyway.
You might want to get like a piece of the area, a piece of the fenced in yard that is specifically for her, and that's where you let her go.
Yeah.
And that way your one part of the lawn gets torn up, not the entire yard.
You're so goddamn Southern. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, gentle listeners, if you're not from the southeast part of America, we love our terriers. We like our pits. We like our Airedales. And we've got dogs that like to dig out here.
Yes.
We really do.
They decide they want to communicate with dogs in China, I guess. Anyway, do we have any news as far as our guys are concerned?
You know, no, and I've been looking around, and listen, Hiddleston is just a null zone. There's nothing coming out about Hiddleston except for, you know, Loki season 2, maybe.
October 6th.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah.
Actually, getting kind of closer.
Every day. Yeah, it's amazing to me. We're almost halfway through 2023.
Yeah.
It's like, it was just like October 2022,
yeah,
not too long.
Right.
What happened?
Right.
I don't know. It felt like I went to sleep and just didn't wake up.
Like Alice or something.
Or like Sleeping Beauty.
Mm.
Although, you know, I would never claim the Sleeping Beauty title, because God knows, when I sleep, dude, no.
That's actually so very Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, on a personal note, my son has been getting into wanting to watch movies.
Okay.
And so we're putting in different DVDs on the weekend. And we ended up putting in Mars Attacks. And he was very excited about watching Mars Attacks. And, you know, he loved it, of course.
Okay.
That being said, you know, Tim Burton, of course, you know, is definitely tied into this podcast. I mean, we probably mention him 33% of these podcasts.
Yeah, I was going to say, we mention him at least once every two or three podcasts.
Yeah. And guys, what a great movie. And I always knew it was, but watching it again, fantastic rewatch value.
Watching it with your son as well. I bet that had a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, he was usually interested. He had his phone, but, you know, a good bit of the movie, he, like, had it in his lap and his mouth was open watching this film.
There are some very surprising twists and turns in that particular movie.
You don't say.
Well, on the Johnny Depp front now... He did make an appearance at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes. Yes.
I will say...
I've seen the photos.
Yes, I will say he is not looking his best. I hesitate to guess the reason why, with the trial being over almost a year now, and...
Yeah.
You know, everything going in his favor, Amber dropping her Oh, what is it? The where she goes back against him anyway. But the appeal. She dropped the appeal. Mm-hmm. Everything seems to be going well. But yeah, he looked a bit bloated, maybe a bit
yeah,
a bit thick.
Yes, he's puffy.
He's puffy. Yes, that's the word. So it's either he's either going to excess, or he's not, because withdrawal can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So you know, either way, Johnny, we love you. You know, we hope you get back into, you know, Johnny Depp fighting fit shape soon.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look bad. He just doesn't look his best. We've seen him look much, much better.
How old is he now?
He will be 60 years old on June the 9th.
Well, Jim, you know, frankly, he's kind of looking like a rich guy that is 60 years old. You know what I mean?
He's never looked his age, though. But, you know, having the stress and everything that he's had for the last several years, right. I can understand why, you know, it's finally starting to come out. He's actually starting to look his age. But he still looks fantastic. He really does. He still carries himself well. And, I mean, he's still Johnny Depp. I don't care. He is still beautiful.
If I'm 60 years old and I look like those photographs that I saw, I will log out, and I will definitely take it. That being said, I would probably not do the spray tan.
Yeah.
He was like orange.
Yeah. He was reminding me uncomfortably of a certain ex-president.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Without the hairpiece, of course.
Yeah, no. That being said, his hair is still beautiful.
Oh, my God, yes. And still thick and full. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's like women comparing themselves to, say, Cher. Okay? Oh, I hope I look that good when I'm 60.
Yeah.
Dude, I wish I looked that good when I was 20.
Not Madonna, but Cher.
Right.
Some people do it right, some people don't.
Yeah, well, you know. But yeah, he did make the appearance, which is good, because there was a question there for a little while as to whether he would be there or not.
Mm-hmm.
So he did make it. I'm not sure who he appeared with, because I have not.
Anyone.
Oh, he was with someone. He was holding somebody's hand.
Oh. Okay, I didn't catch that.
Observant. I noticed everything.
So he was holding someone's hand.
Yep. He was, and if you look up around his face on the photo I sent you, you can see a woman's hair. Looks like it might be permed.
Okay, so Jen, you definitely have to post this. Really.
I will. If my internet will cooperate, I will get it posted as soon as we get done with this.
That is very interesting.
Yep. Yeah, I tend to observe a lot more than, I guess, some.
And, you know, you've also pointed out that Johnny does not like being alone.
No, he does not.
So who is this mystery person?
I'm sure. I have not been able to. I've not had time to pull up the articles of the Cannes Film Festival and see what everybody has to say about it. So yeah. I'm sure she is mentioned at least once or twice in different articles. I just have not had the time to do that. So
we will update you next week, gentle reader.
Absolutely. We will do that. And speaking of, we are on the 6th episode of our, I think we finally decided on 7 episodes for our 80s music. Now we are going to be discussing the years 1987, 88, and 89 as they relate to our guys. Now, next podcast, the next one, we will be discussing our own personal top 100s, and we're going to be hashing out the top songs for a couple of different categories. It's going to be me and Carrie, and we're going to maybe see if Barry wants to throw his 2 cents into it.
Yeah.
And he
Barry
might
also
now.
Also being a pop culture maven.
Oh, he had such a good time helping me with the podcast last week.
Yeah.
He really did. He's like, yeah, you said 80s music, and I said, when and where?
Yep. Yep.
Now, we've got Johnny's birthday coming up, and we are going to do the same type of celebration as we did for Hiddleston. We're going to do the year 1963 for his birthday.
Ooh.
And then I'm considering doing the, depending on how much I can dig up, doing 1960s movies and music.
Oh,
because
easy.
The 60s had some great movies and had some awesome music.
Most certainly.
People don't, I mean, you don't hear, oh yeah, that came out in 1965. That was great. No, you don't hear that anymore. But that's because people these days don't look to the past.
Yeah, well, and whenever we think of, for me anyway, certainly Johnny Depp, I think of Elvis.
Absolutely. And
you're getting a lot of Elvis. You're getting a lot of fantastic doo-wop music.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fantastic, like Motown is really hitting the strides and changing American culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to do some digging and see how deep that rabbit hole goes and see where we're at. Now, Carrie, I do understand you have some personal, you've got work and personal issues that may pull you away from the podcast for a bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe. It's kind of a hurry up and wait sort of situation.
All right, so... Listeners, just be on, you know, beware that we may be minus one host for a little while. Hopefully not for long, but we'll see how it goes. And, of course, you know, we've always got Barry who will step in and co-host anytime. So we're not going to be absent. We're not going to shut down. We're not going to quit doing the podcast. We're just going to be a little different. So, and Carrie, anything that has to be taken care of, has to be handled, work, personal, whatever. You know our hearts will go with you, and you do what's necessary, and hopefully come back soon.
I've always loved this podcast, and I appreciate the listeners. I really do. And I'm quite sure that, you know, if the podcast and the listeners and General have me, I'll be coming back.
Anytime. You know you've always got a spot here.
Yeah.
Always. And without further ado, let's get into it. We've got 1987, 88, and 89. So, since you weren't on the Personal Views podcast about the music, some of your favorite 87 songs?
Well, my duet that I would submit... comes up at number two in 1987, and it would be Tom with Nancy Wilson doing Alone.
Oh, and that duet that we were speaking of is who would you want to have on this list do a duet with one or both of our guys? So yours would be Nancy Hart and Tom Hiddleston. That's a really good combination.
Don't you think they would really? I think he could belt it out.
I think it would be fantastic.
You know, we've heard a few different, you know, vocal performances from Tom, but a rock performance, I think that, like, Alone would probably be kind of where, you know, he could belt it out.
Oh, yeah, he could break people's hearts with that.
Exactly, and be emotional.
Yep. Know. Yeah, that would be amazing. That would really would be amazing.
Number two, you know, Alone by Heart, which was huge. It was beat by Walk Like an Egyptian, which I can absolutely see it. That's the one song that would be able to beat it.
I think it's more about the band more than it is the song.
Oh.
If you think about it, back that is when the two sisters were kind of yin-yang fighting between them over... Because, you know, Nancy was gay. I think it's Nancy's the blonde, right? Or is Nancy the...
Yeah, Nancy's the brunette.
Okay, well...
No, Nancy is the blonde, the guitarist.
Yeah. Right. So, they were... Because the brunette kept saying that she didn't get the lead much because she was heavy, and they're fighting about it, and da-da-da.
Right.
So that detracted a lot from a good bit of their popularity, because, yeah, you wanted to hear the music, you wanted to see them perform, you wanted to see the videos, but you didn't want to hear all the familial BS that came with it. So...
And as far as I know, they didn't do anything after this album, you know, and they've reconciled, I certainly think, and they've done Rock and Roll Hall of Fame appearances and concerts.
Right.
But I think this album, this is essentially, you know, they came back and it was that one album.
Yep.
And then you didn't hear anything.
Right. Yeah, I can't find the perfect song just yet, but I would love to hear Johnny Depp with Lisa.
Ooh! What? You know, first, ooh, and then secondly, wow, okay, please.
She's got...
Elaborate.
She's got such a... She's very uppy.
Yes.
Even when doing...
A lot of energy.
Yes. I could see, say, them performing on stage, him with the guitar in his hand, and her just kind of roping him in
to do
a song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I really could see it. And with her energy, that type of energy is infectious. You know, it would be kind of hard to say no to her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to see that. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, Johnny doing, like, some licks on the guitar, you know, going with the beat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, the two artists. If I could pick one of the guys to do a song with any other artist, it would be Tom Hiddleston with, let me think. I would have to say Cher. Doing number 27 on 1987's list.
Wow.
Think about it. Cher with Tom Hiddleston doing that song.
You know, ironically also, this was the theme song to my high school senior prom.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, that would have been killer.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. Cher showing up at your high school would have been... they would have torn the school down, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I could absolutely see that duet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And there's a lot of good music on this.
For sure.
As an aside, guys, I did create those Spotify playlists that I was talking about the last couple of weeks. All you have to do is, on Spotify, do a search for capital D, ampersand, capital H, no spaces, and then top 100 and whatever year, 1980, 81, 82. And it pops up right away. I've got the top 100 for each year. And after we get done discussing it, I will also put up my personal top 100, Carrie's personal top 100, and if Barry has time and has done a list, I will put up his top 100 as well. So those will also be playlists that you'll be able to find on Spotify.
I will be doing D&H 84 on the way to the beach pretty much all summer.
Oh, yeah. You like that one. I was going through.
I like 84.
84. Well, see, I was going through and trying to find just one year that I could just do a, you know, hit the random button and let it just play through while I was doing other things, coming up with this, doing that, you know, cleaning my room. We don't want to talk about it. But, but yeah, 1984 was definitely a contender, but I ended up going ahead with...
I think I know.
What?
I'm going to guess that you went with, and don't dock me if I'm wrong, but you went with either 81 or 82.
Absolutely not.
Ooh, which one?
I ended up going with 1985.
Ooh! All right, I'm accessing this playlist. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It fit my mood.
Yeah, and there's some really great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wham, wow.
Oh, yeah. Careless Whisper is the perfect... it's the perfect Please Don't Leave Me song, and it's the perfect I'm Sorry song, all wrapped up in one.
I think it was the top song the year.
It was, for the year. However, on my personal top 100 list, I might have used one of the number one songs for that year in my top 100.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I like more, if it's in the top five, you know people like it. You know it's already on the list. So I tended to go toward more of the lower numbers, the more obscure type music.
You're right. You know, that being said, I compared it to a Spotify list of 80 songs that I liked that I had made like 2 years ago. And, you know, it's a lot of like The Cure, The Smiths, you know, that sort of thing. And those aren't showing up on those lists. But the 80s were so fantastic because you had amazing radio hits. And you also were getting those like independent, you know, new wave and alternative was really starting to kind of, you know, take its stride.
Right. And there was go ahead.
Whenever we talk about Johnny and Tom, there's that kind of age difference. And Johnny is more my age bracket. But that being said, you start getting into like English new wave 80s stuff, and you're like, this is so Tom.
Oh, yes.
You know, so I feel like this 80s list is the most representative of both the guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, at the 90s, you really start getting into grunge, and that's just so obviously dominated by Americans.
Yeah. Really? Seattle? Seattle?
Yeah, right,
Washington?
Right. Yeah, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So I really am glad that we did this 80s, because you know that Tom has heard a lot of these songs.
Oh, yeah.
And Johnny was essentially living in them, and we were too in our particular age bracket. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm only a couple of years below you, so you know the age brackets is basically the same.
Right.
I was surprised, however, on 1987's list number 20. All right, that song was originally released in 1981.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, because Ted came out much, much later. So, because that's the song that Ted sings in Ted 2 to prove that he has a soul.
Right.
But, I'm not sure.
It's a Family Ties thing, too.
Family Ties?
Yeah, the Michael J. Fox sitcom ended up originally getting its traction in 87 because they had an episode where they used this song.
Really?
And apparently people thought it was really, really powerful. And RCA Records, I think it was, re-released it.
That would be it then.
And it ended up selling a shit ton because people were like, oh my God, this is a great song.
Yeah. I mean, that is just, it is an absolutely incredible song.
Yeah, and then it was in Ted 2, right?
Yeah, it was in Ted 2. But, so I knew that it was originally released in 1981. So when it showed up, I looked through the 1981 playlist, didn't see it. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe it didn't make the list. So you know, going down and finding it in 1987, I couldn't figure out why the, you know, what happened, you know, why the jump.
Yeah, gentle listener, do the Wikipedia on At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters. It's a very interesting, kind of like, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Right.
On the Dark Side and those songs.
Mm-hmm.
What was that band? John something.
You had to ask me. Hang on. Because he's on this list. He's on this list.
Yeah, it was like 80 or 81. No, I think it was.
No. It's 82. On. It's between 1987 and 89 because we talked about it last week.
But it's kind of that same phenomenon. You know, we didn't have internet yet, but it was because of a cable release.
Right.
And people are like, "What is this song?" And the record companies were like, "Re-release it."
Right.
And it ended up selling a ton of units.
It did, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic song, you're right.
Oh, yeah, it's, the Beaver Brown Band.
Right, yes, thank you. Jeez, it's killing me.
Yeah, I can't remember the dude's name, but it's somebody in the Beaver Brown Band. But yeah, now, see, the thing about it is, with the later list, like, a lot of 88 and most of 89. I don't care if it was released and made the top 100 in 89, 88, whatever. That's not 80s music. Okay? It's not.
Right.
It's not. That's more 90s music. So for my list, I kind of kept it to what I felt sounded like 80s music. Because I'm sorry, you know, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, that's 90s. I don't care when it was released. That is 90s music.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, hair metal for me, you know, we ended up touching on Quiet Riot and Rat and Def Leppard in the 80s. And that was metal. And the 90s, it did become kind of commercial, more hair metal. And
right.
That's certainly Poison, you know.
Oh, yeah. And we discussed the collaboration between Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Right.
That made the list, of course. And it really was. That was the song that kind of brought rap music into the forefront and into acceptable popular culture.
Super important.
And I had to listen to it again. I thought I was wrong when I listened to it the first time, but I wasn't. I was right. In the song, in the original Walk This Way by Aerosmith.
Okay.
He says, "Just give me a kiss" at one point.
Right.
That's not what he says in the Run DMC version.
What?
Oh, no.
What does he say?
Oh, come give me some head. I'm not kidding. Listen
and
to it.
And a gentle listener. Once again, you
just
should hit the
give
Spotify
me some
list
head.
And confirm this.
Go ahead. Hey.
Yo, oh, no. No, I do believe you. Of course.
I was
God
thinking, you know, no, I had to be mistaken. They didn't do that in the 80s. You know, that didn't happen in the 80s. That was not allowed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I guess it was.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we were still kind of discovering stuff with MTV in the 80s, and I remember some really racy videos and images.
Sugar Walls, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, Sugar Walls. There was a video by NXS for the song The One Thing. It was their first hit. It was before Slide Over Here.
Oh, yeah.
Give me. You know, it was before that.
Oh, yeah.
But this girl was eating like a pomegranate or something, and she was eating it kind of sexy.
Right.
And she puts it down on the table, and it's facing you, and there's a... like they pan on it for like 5 seconds up close, and it looks like a totally engorged, eaten vagina.
Oh, wow.
And
nice.
You're straight up like, that's a pussy.
Yep.
And then they pan up to her, and she's looking at you like, now what? And so, yeah, they, you know, and it was cable TV, so
right.
There weren't any laws or whatever.
Well, there was a lot more leeway to what you could get away with and what you couldn't. But yeah, and of course we've got some of Barry's favorites. He's a huge Wang Chung fan. I didn't realize that.
Ah, man after my own heart.
Oh yeah. Well, y'all have the same taste in women, that's for sure.
I disagree about Riley, however.
By who?
Riley.
Who's that?
Riley Reed.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You don't like Riley Reed? What's wrong with you?
Too skinny.
Yeah, you know, I thought the same thing. She looks like you break her in half.
Yeah. Well, she can handle it, obviously, but, well, yeah. You know, and hey, from there, I can appreciate it. But anyway.
All right. Yeah, that's a private discussion for later.
Yeah. And remember La Bamba?
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, he ended up selling it, you know, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes, my God, that was one of my heartthrob crushes, and my father had a fit.
Baby, could he sell it?
Absolutely.
He sold it.
Oh, yes.
And he sold so many, you know, more units than Richie Valens did, you know.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, so it was Los Lobos.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the song itself is, it's, what's the word, Kitschke?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things that gets in your head. And you do, you can't sing along to it because you don't know the words. But
and you remember, yeah, and you know, I knew Spanish like so well because I had memorized that song's Spanish lyrics. You remember how much of a automatic it was listening to number 24.
All right, for which year? 87?
For 87, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your mind automatically triggers on the video.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I want your sex. Gotta love it.
And people were, like, singing it in the hallways in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe didn't even, I think they kind of knew, but they didn't know anything about sex.
Not at that time period. Nowadays, kids in frigging elementary school know more about sex than I ever did.
They're literally singing WAP, wet-ass pussy.
Oh, my God, I know. Ridiculous.
But I want your sex, like, blew some people's minds.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that they played it on the radio.
On the radio.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and the thing about it is, the sad thing is I find myself, I literally have turned into my parents. Because I hear the music that they put on popular radio now, and I'm like, oh, my God. What? Are you? Oh my God! No. That's not music. What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, and number 35 is very similar to that.
Okay.
Keep your hands to yourself. Don't hand me no lines and keep your hands
to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself. There won't be no hugging, no squeezing until I get a wedding band.
No huggy, no kissy.
Yep, and that's how it was. But I mean, in those, that's how people were trying to keep it back then. It was fast coming away from that to where casual sex was accepted. It was, you know, it wasn't looked down on so badly by the younger generation. But the older generation, however, you know, oh, you know, the girl next door got pregnant at 17 and she's not married,
yeah,
so you can't talk to her anymore. You can't deal with her anymore. You can't be her friend, you know, because we don't want you catching that disease. I didn't realize pregnancy was, you could transmit it that way, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought there had to be two people, but apparently you can get pregnant just by associating with someone who's pregnant, so.
Well, you know, and on the same year, and probably played right after that on the radio, you got number 38
in 87. Yeah.
You got the look, and we talked about Sheena Easton.
Oh,
yeah. You talked about her in the earlier broadcasts.
Right.
but you got the look her and Prince, you know, and they credited to Prince, but it was a true duet. This was kind of her big thing. I mean, maybe Sugar Walls, but you got the look.
Oh, yes. And
this was straight up a I'm having sex with Prince.
This was a straight up, you know, as soon as we get done singing, the microphones are hitting the floor, and so are we.
Right. It was very sexy. You could feel it.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's the whole thing. Sex sells, true, but sexy sells more than naked.
True.
So you can.
Especially when we're talking about audio.
Oh, yeah. And so you can sit out there and talk about fucking this and fucking that and titties and ass and pussy and whatever and do that all you want. Okay? But I'm telling you, a song that is sexy is going to sell more than all the pussy, tits, and ass you want to throw. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the heat behind it.
You remember number 44?
Absolutely. I was about to bring that up. Samantha Fox.
So let's talk about Samantha Fox.
All right. Barry brought up the fact that she was a Page 3 girl.
That's right.
To start with. And see, you know what that is. I did not.
Yeah, it's their newspaper, kind of like porno.
Yeah,
softcore.
Yeah,
super soft. It's titties.
It's titties. But yeah, so she started out as a Page 3 girl. And they found out she had a voice.
Yeah.
So, Touch Me is a great song. Naughty Girls Need Love Too.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, I'm sure you do know because you went to school at the same time period I did.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Walking through the halls, you could not go down a hall in high school without hearing some chick going, maybe,
naughty,
just maybe.
Naughty girls need love too.
With their really, really bad fake English accents.
Oh, yeah. The way we Southerners do it.
Oh, yeah. We Southerners are okay. Englishmen are really good at mimicking the Southern twang.
Right. Southerners are from.
Southerners are not so good the other way around.
Right.
And
you know, hats off to Samantha Fox also for being done with guys.
Oh, really?
You know, she's been in like a 20-year committed same-sex relationship.
Oh,
she's
well,
like, yeah, whatever.
See, you raised my hopes up in one sentence and just killed them in the next. Really? she swerved off men. Oh, hey, I've got a shot. Oh, guys. She's in a 20-year relationship. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now, another one on this list kind of brought to the forefront. You know, for a long time, there were certain things you didn't talk about. You didn't talk about them. You didn't bring it up. You didn't. If you saw something going on, you didn't ask about it. You didn't question. You didn't. You pretended you didn't notice. And that song is number 52 on the list. Suzanne Vega with Luca.
Really important song.
It is. It's incredibly important. And it brought to the forefront that point of abuse, whether it's to a child, to a partner, to a parent, you know, it happens. It happens a lot. And up until this point, everybody was not my circus, not my monkeys. Let me look the other way and pretend I didn't notice.
Right.
But
now you're listening to it on the radio.
That song made it kind of hard to ignore.
Right.
So, yeah, hats off to Suzanne Vega for that one. I don't think she did anything before or since that hit as big as Luca.
I'm kind of a Suzanne Luca. Yeah.
Well,
I'm
no,
kind
she of a she did. She did some good stuff. I'm not saying that.
Well, she did a song and an album called 99.9 Fahrenheit Degrees.
Okay.
Sounds weird, but and you know it. Fantastic song, great album, and I think this is where we started kind of seeing independent artists and alternative artists. You know, her, REM.
Right.
It was somewhere around the mid-80s where they're like, you know, you're not going to hear us all the time on the radio.
Right.
And so Luca, you know, it was kind of a surprise that they were playing that on regular radio, because it was very implicit that we're talking about someone being abused.
Right.
And that got people used to other kinds of music where it wasn't happy poppy.
Right. It wasn't tearing my beer. It wasn't,
right.
It wasn't a love song or breakup or all about sex. It was about something that was actually important in today's society.
Yeah, and that's another great thing about the 80s. You know, we started kind of getting exposed to that sort of material on the radio. You know,
right.
It wasn't happy poppy, right.
Yeah, you know, there are real world problems that happen every day right next door to you. And it's time to stop turning a blind eye, look at the problem, see what's happening, and do what you can to fix it.
I definitely appreciate the inclusion of Luca with your commentary.
Oh, Luca absolutely makes my top 100. Matter of fact, Luca made my top 30.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's going to be another at least 20-minute conversation, but
anytime.
I can't wait to see these lists.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can't wait. And I'm not going to, no spoiler alerts here, but okay. I think my number one song is going to surprise a lot of people. I think it really will. But see, the problem with me trying to make a top 100 list, my listening choices
change
depend on my mood,
right?
And
yeah,
so
that's killing me with this.
Oh, you're my
right.
God, I know.
Assignment.
I mean, I've got I'm dealing with some issues, personal and professional, so I've got a lot of stuff going on. So I've got a lot of fuck you songs on my list. I've got a lot of love songs on my list. I've got a lot of you know, like, can we, I think it's, I know it's on this somewhere. See, Can't We Try by
just a little
bit harder. Yep, that one. I've got that one on my, I mean,
that's
songs
like 84.
Oh, is that 84? I thought it was later. Okay.
Can't We Try Just a Little Bit?
Yeah.
Who was that? Damn it.
That's all right. I can do a search. Give me a second. Give me a second.
That being said, I cannot wait for my 80s birthday party.
That is number 63 on...
Oh my God, in 87.
I told you. I'm always right.
Oh, you know your 80s music.
I do. That is by Dan Hill featuring Vonda Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
That song reminds me of, is it Pictures? Picture Perfect Memories Scattered All Around the Floor. Though it's a popular song now. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. Yeah, that one. The feel behind the song reminds me a lot of that one. And what surprised me is there's a couple of Cyndi Laupers on this list that I don't recognize.
Yeah, Change of Heart.
Yeah, I had to listen to
that.
I had to listen to it, and I had heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of my favorites, and I did not equate it to Cyndi Lauper.
So kind of surprised that it's this high on the list.
Yeah.
Because there are some, you know, this is another year where the middle and the end is really interesting and better, in my opinion, than the top.
Oh, some of them, yeah.
You know, we've got like, oh my gosh.
Oh, Beastie Boys at number 98. I thought they would have been much, much higher because of the radio play and the amount of attention they got because they were white kids, white middle class kids rapping.
That video was huge.
I loved that video.
And I think that really helped it. And I love the Beastie Boys.
Oh, God, you know? Yes. They rank right up there with ICP with me.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. In Cypress Hill, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Vibe.
Oh, and by the way, guys, anybody who does not know, ICP, Insane Clown Posse, the guys started that band to do one thing and one thing only. And that is to make money to donate to charity. 90% of everything they make gets donated to charity. They keep enough to live on and to keep creating music. Other than that, everything else they give away.
So, they actually created trusts that draw interest, and they pay out of that trust monthly.
Right.
Those guys are great.
So anybody who wants to down ICP because they don't like their music, take a number.
Yeah. They're still making more money than you, and they're giving it away.
And they are giving it away, literally. So when was the last time you donated money, time, clothing, anything?
Wow. I do need to make a Goodwill run. What? It's in my trunk.
Still?
Yeah, well, no, there's always Goodwill stuff in my trunk.
I was going to say, please tell me it's not the same stuff that was in your trunk in October.
Anyway, no, it's not. Anyway, kind of wrapping it up, I wanted to ask your opinion on two songs that are on the 87 list.
Okay.
Because you have some really, really great taste, and you also look at this through the lens of Johnny and Tom.
Right.
So we have number 66, Breakout by Swing Out Sister. You remember Breakout?
I'm trying to think.
Don't stop to ask.
Oh, yes. God, yes.
Ooh-wee-oo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And number 67, right after it, Stand By Me by Ben E. Key.
Oh, my God. I could see either one of the guys doing this, but I think, let's see, in my mind's eye, I think Johnny would be better.
I do, too. Exactly. I was thinking that Swing Out Sister would be Tom, and Johnny would be Stand By Me.
Agreed.
And I remember, the movie coming out. That's why it ended up charting.
And the thing about the movie, and what surprised a lot of people, me included, is the person who wrote the original story that became the movie.
Yeah, it was a Stephen King story.
It was a Stephen King novella.
And it was a really, really successful, and you would not classify that as a horror movie.
No, it was a coming of age.
Yeah, yes, it is a coming of age film.
Childhood is the place where no one dies.
And River Phoenix, of course, who died
shortly after
at the Viper.
Oh my God, yes. And he died in the parking lot.
Yep, and so Johnny doing a Stand By Me, I think, would be really apropos.
Oh, I think it would be incredibly sweet, incredibly heartbreaking, and incredibly pure.
Yes.
So real quick, we've spent a lot of time on 87. We got about 15 minutes. Let's see if we can run through 88 and 89.
Okay.
So favorite, give me like the first two, your best two favorites on 88.
So 88, I graduated from high school, and at that point I was really into like The Cure and stuff, and nothing in the top 10. Except at number 12, Wishing Well.
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah, that was pretty much the first catchy one for me. And that's an amazing. And The Flame by Cheap Trick.
Oh, God, yes.
I hated Is This Love by Whitesnake.
Agreed.
I really like Whitesnake.
Agreed. Wild Wild West, however, headed for the 90s, living in the Wild Wild West.
Yep, and then Pour Some Sugar on Me right after, actually.
Speaking of sex songs.
My, my senior drama project was Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Okay, that conjures images I'm going to not speak about.
What?
I'm just wondering who you were pouring sugar on.
No, I had to make a video, and we had like a band, and we basically air guitared it. But that being said, I can see it being a porno too.
Oh yeah. Although sugar is not good for women. Just
no.
So you know. Now, you mentioned 12 and number 14. Number 13 is one of my all-time favorites. Gloria Estefan did a lot of slow-paced.
You were so from Florida.
I'm not from Florida.
Estefan. Estefan, which is the proper pronunciation.
Well, it's because I had a Cuban boss.
Yeah, everyone is like, Gloria Estefan.
Estefan. You know, that would be spelled differently.
Yes.
But yeah, anything for you. It's just so heartrending. I like music that speaks, not in words, but in feeling. And this one does. That one, and if you go down just a little bit, you've got number 39, 40, and 41. Those three songs. You've got one.
Wow.
That is the teenage climate. You've got one that is an emotional climate. And then you've got one that is the I'm walking away climate. Those three songs, you could listen to those three songs in the 80s. You could listen to those three and only those three songs, and they would handle anything you had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, either you're going to be sweet with She's Like the Wind, be in love, be caring, be kind, be courteous. You're going to say, fuck you, I'm out of here.
This is toxic.
With bad medicine,
or
you're going to say, you know what, I can't deal, I'm going to have a drink, red wine, UB40.
Yep.
And then you have another fuck you song at number 43 that is awesome. Elton John did not do many songs. He was all about the caring, the love, the concern, the trust.
Yeah.
But this one, oh yeah. I don't want to go on with you like that.
He is rejecting that poison.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Devil Inside by NXS is another great one.
I'm actually going to go with, when you're talking about, you know, bad medicine and the three that get you through it, I was going to go back to number 21 really quick.
Okay. Okay, wow. All right, Man in the Mirror.
You know, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson, he literally is like, if there's a problem and it's you, you need to look in the mirror, and if you want to make a change, you have to start with you.
Exactly. My mom used to tell me, she says, you know, if the same thing keeps happening to you over and over again, there's one common denominator, and that's you.
Yeah.
So if you keep getting the same issues, you need to figure out what it is about you that is inviting those issues.
Yeah. And, you know, that song really encapsulated that. And I still listen to it every day, you know, I mean, for perspective, guys.
Oh, yeah. It really is a great song. Toward the later years, Michael Jackson did put out a lot of thought-provoking lyrics.
Yeah, he did, you know, and a lot of credit to him.
Absolutely.
You know, I liked a lot of the early stuff, but when he started getting kind of conscientious and it was still really good beats, I mean, it's still a great, you're right, it's a great song all around.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, guys, don't burn me at the stake for this one, because a lot of people hate this song. But one of my favorites on the 88 list?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of the 1988 list is, let me find it again. Number 76. Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. I absolutely love that song.
You got to play it. Here we go again.
I want to take it to anywhere. Yep.
Such a sad song. You know, well, and again, we're talking about like real problems.
If you listen to the song, it does take you through her life with this guy. Yeah. You know, they take off, they go into the city. He starts to drink and party and you know, deal more with his friends than he does his family. She's the one who's busting her ass, trying to take care of the family and the kids and everything. And, you know, she's still not willing to give him up. She's still not willing to let him go.
She remembers. She's like, I remember when we were driving.
Yeah, driving in your car. Your arm wrapped around, your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulders, and I was thinking how I could be someone.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, and that's a great song to listen to every day.
It is. It's really, if you listen to the words, the song means so much more than what people give it credit for.
And Tracy Chapman did some pretty great stuff.
She's still putting out good music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she's another one who's given up on men, so.
Yes. Correct.
So, bravo, Tracy. Hey, more power to you, baby. Because the climate, guys, the climate for LGBTQ is getting dangerous.
We could have literally actually probably done each year an episode.
Oh, I'm sure we could have.
That being said, you're right. It is getting crazy dangerous.
So, any of y'all out there, LGBTQ or associated, keep an eye out, man. Keep an eye out on your friends. You know, just be observant, be cautious. I have family members, I have children who are within the LGBTQ community, and I am terrified for them. I have two that live in right around the Chicago area. So, not a good spot. I have another living in Florida that drives trucks. And she has been accosted a couple of times.
Right.
Going into the women's bathroom. Because of her short hair and her penchant for baggy clothing and her unwillingness to wear makeup to work. So... Yeah, y'all be careful out there. It's about all I can say to you at this point, but do that.
Yep.
All right, 1989, real quick.
How much time do we have left? Because I'm actually, like, really, really...
All right, we're at 50...
Into the vibe.
We're at 57, but we've recorded to hour 15, hour 20 before, so we're good.
And, you know, when I look at, like, the 50s and 60s in this year, nothing's really, you know, I mean, some pretty good songs, but nothing that, you know, I want to spend 10 minutes on like I've been doing.
Right.
Always On My Mind by the Pet Shop Boys, you know. I Hate Myself for Loving You, Joan Jett and the Black Hearts.
I love, love, love that song because...
Babe. Yes.
Everybody has felt that way. You cannot control how you feel. You can control how you respond to it. But it takes a bit of strength to walk away from something you really don't want to walk away from. So,
and if you don't mind my saying, you know, she did I Love Rock and Roll. Which was, 1981, and I Love Rock and Roll, and everything was on it. This album was literally, like, one of her later ones, and it was fantastic.
Here's a bit of trivia for you, my dear. I Love Rock and Roll. I saw you standing there by the record machine, knew you could have been about 17, said, can I take you home where we can be alone? Next thing, we were moving on, and he was with me.
Yeah. Yep.
Think
that's
about it.
That's laid out.
She wrote, I Hate Myself for Loving You, about the same man she what? Wrote I Love Rock and Roll for.
What? Okay. Who was this guy? Do we know?
I do not know.
That's really interesting. You know, Adele ended up doing all of these fantastic songs, and she revealed that it was about one man. And
right.
This guy ended up coming forward and wanted to sue her.
And wanted money for the music. Yeah. See, yes, I kissed my ass.
He's like, these songs would not have existed, apparently, if it weren't for me. And you said that publicly.
Screw you.
And the courts ended up, and it was kind of a contested, you know, it was a court thing.
Yeah.
And the courts found her in favor.
Good.
And awarded him nothing.
Good. He deserved nothing. Sorry.
And so I kind of wonder who Joan Jett's talking about, you know, and how this guy feels about it.
I don't know. I really don't know, but she's not, okay, she's not said straight out, but she said if you follow her albums, you can follow her life's timeline.
Okay.
And she was involved strictly with one person for many, many years.
Yeah.
So, right. But yeah, she, Joan Jett is still fantastic. I want to say I've seen her recently, but I can't. I saw her 20 years ago, actually.
You went to all the good shows.
Actually, no. I saw her on Broadway.
With Rocky Horror?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What?
She played Columbia. Yep. She drove a little, I think it was a little blue car. Like a little compact. She drove herself to and from the show. I was talking to some girls at the show that were next door neighbors of hers. She does her own lawn. She, you know, she's basically just a neighbor. You know, she's...
Yeah, like a person in the neighborhood.
Yeah. She deals with the looky-loos and the ones that want to come by because they found out where she lives. To see her and stuff. And she deals with that, and she signs autographs and stuff occasionally. But, yeah, she's basically your girl next door now. But she is absolutely amazing. She was, like, she's so tiny. I mean, it doesn't translate, like, on videos and stuff. This woman is... Tiny is the only word that I can even... It's like comparing... Comparing her to normal women is like comparing a Chihuahua to a Great Dane.
Yeah.
Okay, she is that little.
Right, but she just exudes it.
But she
she's
has...
She's definitely in my pentagon of amazing musical women. It's got to be Joan Jett.
She has so much power wrapped up in that little frame. You know,
you got
Stevie Nicks.
You got her. You've got... Tina Turner, Pat Benatar.
I wasn't going to say it. Cyndi Lauper.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin. Cyndi Lauper is another.
Okay.
Go
on.
Oh, I can see her face, but I can't call her name. She's a soul sister. She was
Not Aretha.
She was in Rock of Ages.
Which I haven't seen.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we got to rectify that. Man. All right, give me a second. Because you know I got to look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to finish it. We've got six.
All right.
I'm actually going to throw, it's not Nancy Wilson, Ann Wilson. That girl can belt it.
Oh, no kidding.
Barracuda.
Oh, absolutely. Love that.
You got room for two more, babe.
I love that song, and I love the animated version in Shrek, I think it's two or three?
Yeah, three.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep.
There's actually some good D&D music.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Good D&D music, guys. Heart, Styx, and some ELO. It for your
is
wizard
not
shit.
giving me. All right, give me the list of the cast is what I want. Cast and crew. There we go. Russell Brand is awesome, but we're not even talking about him. Mary J. Blige.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
my
goodness.
Getting
into, like, the modern shit. Yes. Mary J. Blige. Everybody's like...
Modern Mary J. Blige is, like, in her 60s, honey.
This girl was like, you know, they talk about Mary J. Blige being the Aretha Franklin of our generation. She's like, no, she's the Mary J. Blige.
No
of our
kidding.
So
absolutely.
Like, yeah, Mary J. Blige, man.
Diana Ross. Diana Ross is another absolutely.
You're right. Oh my God. Absolutely. And has been on this list with Donna Summer.
Yep, Donna Summer is another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, see, the thing about it is the 1989 list, there's only a couple of songs that are even worth mentioning as far as I'm concerned. Number 68. That made my top 10. You're fading in and out, babe. What happened?
No, I don't know.
But yeah, number 68 made my top 10.
You're blowing my mind.
Oh, man. Come on. I love The Cure. They have a way of putting forth an idea, even though it's a common idea. Love song. Okay. Everybody does them. You get them all the time. Not a big deal. But they have a way of putting forth a common idea in a way that's not so common.
Yeah.
So I absolutely adore The Cure, and Love Song is definitely one of my top.
I do. And here, once again, I don't know if it would have gotten this high up if it weren't for songs like Luca.
Right.
You know, and that being said, I also adore The Cure, and I'm surprised that they were on this with Love Song.
It's the only one they made the list. Yeah, it's the only one they made the 80s list.
Yep. It is their quote-unquote mainstream song.
Right, right. But
and Adele covered it and made it big again.
Oh, did she?
And people bought it again. Yeah. She does a great cover of
I will have to look that up. Mm-hmm. Another one that is really, really just amazing is number 70, Angel Eyes.
Oh, you're killing me.
And
because you've passed some that I figured you would have spotted, and it definitely wanted to say something.
Okay, like what? What would you have assumed that I would?
Number 61.
I like that song. I really do. Skid Row is one of my favorite bands, but that's not an 80s song. That's a 90s song.
And are you not surprised? 61? Wow, I'm kind of surprised.
At the time, no. I mean, metal was still not being accepted a whole lot. So...
Skid Row did kind of help that.
They did. They did a lot for it. And Sebastian Bach, you know, being the front man, did not hurt.
Right. And that is one of the coolest guys on the planet.
Professionally? Absolutely.
Okay, well, first of all, professionally, I know he's worked with a lot of people.
The reason he is no longer fronting for Skid Row is because of personality conflicts and overinflated egos.
I gotcha. Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, I wasn't there, so I couldn't tell you whose ego was worse,
okay,
the members of the band or his, but...
We might be talking about, like, Motley Crue, you know.
Well, yeah.
Clashing with Vince Neil and Tommy Lee.
Right. Because both, I'm sorry, I can't see how the two of them can be in the same room. I swear their egos have got to have separate plane tickets.
You're so right.
But number 81 is another that is just mind-blowingly awesome.
Yep.
Love in an Elevator.
Yep.
And let's see, there's one more. Okay, two more.
I've got a couple.
Number 91, Alice Cooper's Return. And I was so shocked and surprised. I had to go back through the list and look again. This is the only song by Alice Cooper on any of the top 100 lists in the 1980s. And that shocked the shit out of me. But most of his earlier stuff is 70s. It's not 80s.
My dad ended up chaperoning the March of the Black Widow Spiders concert tour.
Yes.
And they came to Jackson, Mississippi, and he chaperoned for my Aunt Susan and my cousin Greg. And he was just like, he didn't really talk about it, you know, or whatever. And we're like, okay. And years later, and Dad traveled all over the world, and he went to Broadway a lot and saw plays. And he's like, I have seen Cats in its original run. I've seen Les Miserables, its original run. And none of those compared to that concert that night in Jackson, Mississippi, Alice Cooper, March of the Black Widow Spiders tour.
And I do believe, as see what I'm trying to think what year it was, because I do not, of course, have the information pulled up. Alice Cooper almost died. And I think it was 87. I'm wanting to say it was 1987. The guillotine he was using. There was an issue with it. The problem is, Alice, honey, Vince, I love you. You're great. But don't use a real guillotine in your stage show.
Yeah. Well, he was hard.
Well, apparently, if he had been any softer, his head would have been in a basket.
Right.
But yeah, he almost lost his life due to a malfunctioning guillotine during a stage show. So,
I remember watching a VH1 special. It was like a Behind the Music or whatever about Alice Cooper and Meatloaf. Was on there, and they were interviewing him. He's like, pound for pound, for me, the best songwriter is Alice Cooper.
Absolutely.
What a fantastic songwriter. And, you know, I remember, like, You and Me and It's Hot Tonight and all of those songs from the 70s and 80s. And so Poison, for me, I was like, you know, good to have you back, buddy. It's not a fantastic song for me. I am so glad that you are making money off of this. I mean, it was still pretty good.
I saw the concert.
For the Poison tour?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, who opened for him?
That there was no opening act.
Yeah. How do you? Who's gonna open for him?
There was no opening act. It was straight Alice Cooper, straight up. And I'm here to tell you, man, because. You know, the opening act, it said, because back then, you had opening acts.
Right.
Now, nowadays, not so much. There's a lot of bands that it's just them.
Yeah, right. Back then, it was like two, maybe three bands.
Yeah, but that's how your newer bands got a feel for your concert-type deals, is they opened for the older bands. And gave the older bands a kind of feel for the crowd before they had to come out and perform. That was the whole point of the opening band. Well, yeah, there was no opening band. It said to be announced. And either they couldn't find someone who would do it.
Right.
Or Cooper just said, you know what, screw this. I'm enough on my own. And
I'm ready. You're right. I can totally see him being like, you know what, fuck that, I'm ready.
The lights go down. And everybody's just still talking and, you know, moving around. Because back then, you didn't have to stay in your seat. You could actually move. But, yeah, they're still wandering around, you know, going to the concession stand. And all of a sudden, you hear. Everybody's like, what?
Yep.
That opening guitar scream from the song Poison was the first sound you heard. And then everything went black. And next thing you know, you were breathless. and you'd been standing in the same spot for the last 2.5 hours, and you're still trying to remember how you got there.
Yeah, and listen, that being said, Poison still beats out Shot at the Devil by Motley Crue, just saying.
Agreed. I do like Motley Crue's Shot at the Devil. However, it's too blatant, and Alice did it much better, with much more subtlety, and much more aplomb.
Yes. However, Alice and Johnny Depp, obviously.
But that being said, guys, neither one of them, as far as I know, are devil worshippers. So, yeah, nix that.
We are of a certain age.
We are.
Have to do the devil worshipping.
The whole point of devil worship, it's not about worshiping Satan. It's about worshiping yourself.
The devil.
No, right? It's about worshiping yourself. It's body over mind.
Yeah. Yeah, Satan? Yeah. It's fine. Yeah,
it's worshiping fine. Yourself. So, you know, you wanna get that big ego and think you're all that? Go ahead with it and still claim you're Christian.
Hey, it works for some folks.
But those are some of the real key ones. I would love to see Johnny do something like Paradise City. I would love to see Tom do something like November Rain.
Ooh. I got one for you.
All right.
And this is a strictly Jen question.
Uh-oh.
Closing out the year, number 77 is Close My Eyes Forever, Lita Ford.
And Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. Who is doing that duet, though, in our conversation?
All right. If I was going
I
to...
No
if
idea,
I could,
so
if
all...
I could handpick two people to do that duet, taking in the music, the lyrics, the feel...
The guitar.
The feel of the music, I would have to say...
Is it more Johnny or is it more Tom?
Give me a second. That would have to be Johnny.
I think it's more Johnny.
I would have to be Johnny, and it would have to be done with... Sheryl Crow.
Whoa. Nice.
Yep.
Dude, nice.
That would be... Sheryl Crow has such a... If not Sheryl Crow, then Fiona Apple. But Sheryl Crow has such a great tonality. And Fiona has the same thing. But yeah, it would have to be one of those two. And it would have to be Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and Fiona, wow, that would be an incredibly emotional, probably from both of them.
Oh, my God. However, I would love to see Tom Hiddleston do Pictures with, let's see, believe it or not, I don't know if I want to say this on the broadcast. Oh, I'm probably going to get stoned, and not in a good way. I would have to say... Oh, God, now I can't call her name. Hannah Montana.
Miley.
Yeah, I would love to see Miley Cyrus and Tom Hiddleston do Pictures.
Nice.
That would be... Oh, my God, that would break people's hearts.
That would definitely.
Because Miley Cyrus, man, she is so underrated.
Oh, I cry when I listen to her sing Jolene.
Oh, my God. It breaks me up that she thought she had to get naked to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry. The video, forgive me, but my God, that woman is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But there was... I wish she hadn't gone to that extreme. I know she was trying to break away from the whole Disney deal and all that, and a lot of your stars do that. Daniel Radcliffe did it to break away from the Harry Potter thing. And some stars who don't do it never get away from those first initial childhood roles. But I really, her voice is plenty to get her attention. She doesn't need to show off like that. She is an absolutely amazing singer. She's got a great dad and a great coach. And, you know, her voice speaks for itself. And we are at an hour and 20 minutes, so I think we've pushed this about as far as we can push it.
And this is how we close it. I was going to ask you about Almost Paradise, but...
Go ahead. Almost Paradise, that would have to be...
Oh, that's okay.
I don't know. Almost Paradise,
That was Ann Wilson. Ann Wilson and the guy from Loverboy, Mike Reno.
Yeah.
84. But I can't find it on the list.
It's on there. It's not on 84's list.
It's number 59.
Oh, it is. Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, Almost Paradise. Actually, I could see that one being done, not with one of our guys, but with Phil Collins.
Yeah, it was Mike Reno from Loverboy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I could see it being done with Phil Collins.
He would tear it up.
Oh my God, he was amazing. Oh, Separate Lives is another one. Duet. You know, you have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. That was Phil Collins.
Yeah, who was the female? Who was that? You have no right. Yeah.
Yep.
Who was that?
Let's see. Give me just a second. Yeah, we're stretching it.
Marilyn Martin.
Oh, you found it before I did.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know who Marilyn Martin is.
No, I don't either.
But she's amazing. She's got a great voice. Uh-huh. But yeah, I could see Phil Collins doing the other one, the other song that you mentioned. That's another unsung hero. Oh my God. He was balding by the time he was 20. And, you know, you got to be good looking if you're going to be on MTV. So, and he's cute. But he's not the hairband type, but man, he could sing.
But like guys, like I kind of guy crush on Phil Collins.
Really?
I don't often guy crush.
Oh, nice.
But I guy crush on Phil Collins.
He's an amazing.
Okay, I said it.
He's an amazing artist. After we get done recording, remind me to tell you about Crystal.
Okay.
So, anyway, all right, a minute 20, or an hour 22, I think we are pushing this as far as we can push it. Let's go ahead and plan on our finale being at least an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we are going to wrap this up. Give us a shout. Let us know what you like. Give us some music ideas about the 80s. What's your favorite songs? Which ones do you absolutely hate? Let us know who you think the guys would do well singing with and what songs you'd like to hear. I'm not saying we can make anything happen, but, you know.
Well, I definitely loved for them to give me some input on what they would think about Tom Hiddleston doing Studio by Phil Collins.
Now, that is another good one. Studio, Tom Hiddleston doing Studio with Johnny Depp playing backup.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and if we're going to dream, Keanu Reeves on bass.
What? Yes.
Man, I still say that's the killer, the ultimate frigging rock band.
And Bill Burns, the comedian on drums, he's apparently a really, really good drummer.
Oh, my God.
And he loves Meshuggah, so.
Hey, Meshuggah rocks.
Yeah.
All right, guys. You can contact us, deppheadsandhiddlestunders@yahoo.com. Go ahead and give them your information, Carrie, so that I can look up the Deppheads and Hiddlestunders phone number.
So on Facebook, you can find me as Traveler 2300 2 L's.
And that is also on PlayStation?
But more reliably is on PlayStation Network. Look for Traveler 2300. I use that message service.
All right. So, and you can call us. Hey, Dep Heads and Hiddle Stoners, you can call us anytime. We have a dedicated phone line. That number is 949-373-5476. You give us a call, tell us who you want to talk to, what you want to talk about, and an appropriate time for us to call you back, and we will do so. It doesn't matter. You want to talk to me, you want to talk to Barry, you want to talk to Carrie, we'll make sure they get the message. So, hey, give us a shout. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Talk to us about the 80s. Talk to us about music, movies, or the guys, or whatever you want to talk about. We're here.
Indeed.
Absolutely. So, Carrie, Godspeed, and we hope you come back soon. We'll check you. Yeah. We've got next podcast, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah.
So, guys, we'll check you next time.
Love and peace.
Peace and love. Later.
Bye.